This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatim al-Nabiyyin, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, we seek His guidance, we seek refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. We testify that whomsoever He guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever He misguides, then none can guide. And we request praises and blessings upon our master and our teacher and our leader, the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. To my mothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His mercy, may His blessings, may His safety be upon you all. Wa taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds. We can never ask Him enough. We can never ask Him enough. Such is life, subhanallah, that it brings to us moments and then those moments pass. And the session that we're having right now is testimony to it. For it feels like only yesterday that we had our very first session in the series To Know Him is to Love Him, as we discuss some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and some of the knowledge pertaining to that genre of knowledge, knowledge of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, before we knew it, we are towards the end of our month, the month of Ramadan. And in a few days' time, this guest of ours will depart, subhanallah. It feels like only moments ago we were preparing our homes to receive this guest. We're preparing ourselves to receive this guest, the yearly guest, the guest that we long for throughout the year, and we get really excited before it arrives, and we actually feel the positive stress in Sha'ban, 30 days before the month arrives, making sure everything is ready. We can be ready to fast, we can be ready to revive our nights and be in the service of our guest. And the best way we can be in the service of our guest is through being dedicated to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time has come, subhanallah, so quickly that this guest is about to depart. And this guest will depart benevolently, as it arrived benevolently. It came to our homes with many gifts and many opportunities, many propositions. It came to our home with glad tidings. It came to our home with bounties, and as it came graciously, it will leave graciously. Our guest will leave us graciously. And it will leave us graciously in the form of leaving us supercharged, alhamdulillah, recalibrated, revived, ready to face life, ready to pursue our akhirah. It will leave us strong in front of the whispers of shaytan, in front of the doubts that shaytan might have planted within us before Ramadan. Leaves us graciously. And no doubt, any gracious guest leaves with sincere advice. It leaves with sincere advice, because advice is the best gift that we can give one another. And you have to imagine Ramadan leaving you with a reminder to how you felt before the last Ramadan expired. You've got to imagine that. That this gracious guest, no doubt, someone who loves us sincerely for the sake of Allah, will tell us how it is. They will not leave us with false hope. They will leave us with true hope. So you have to imagine this guest departing, sharing with us a reminder to how we felt the Ramadan before this Ramadan, how we felt in the final moments, during the final days, how we felt when we were bidding this celebrity guest, this important guest, farewell. We have to remember how we felt there and then. And I sincerely believe that Ramadan will depart this year with a call, a reminder to those moments. Not for the sake of making us sad, but for the sake of making us remember, subhanAllah, how many thoughts we had. And reminding us that Jannah doesn't come about through wishful thinking. It doesn't come about through wishful thinking. That you had a lot of ideas in your mind before the last Ramadan ended, what you're going to do, what you're going to leave, what you're not going to do, what you're going to implement, and the next Ramadan arrived, and where were you from those ambitions? Where were you from those emotions? Where were you from all those thoughts? So Ramadan wants to build us up. Ramadan doesn't want to take us backwards. So you have to imagine that Ramadan's going to ask you, that where were you the last time I was with you? And where were you when I found you this time? And I don't know if I'm going to find you next time. So, think about what happened the last time after I departed. You know, what did you achieve? What didn't you achieve? Why didn't you achieve those things? Right? A gracious guest will leave us with these advices so that we are left in a state of strength, not weakness. We are left in a we are left with a sense of perspective. We are left with a sense of perspective, not a sense of, or not in a state of deception. Ramadan doesn't want to leave us in a state of deception. So as you live through these final moments, and believe me, before you know it, it will be Wednesday. Before you know it, you'll be fasting your last fast on Thursday, or maybe not, depending. I believe here it's announced, so you know that your last fast isn't Thursday. But many Muslims in the world will be searching for the moon on Thursday evening. And they don't know, they won't be know whether they will get Friday to fast or whether it will be the day of Eid. Okay, so feel this, create the sense of urgency. Urgency is sometimes a good thing. It helps procrastinators become realigned. Feel this urgency. See Ramadan as this guest that you waited for and waited for and waited for, and then Ramadan came and you prepared so well for this guest that when this guest entered your home, everywhere they went, they were just saying, wow, I'm looking forward to my 30 days here. And then see these final days as the final moments you have with your guest and your need to do everything to make most of the time you have with your guest. And then don't forget that this guest is so gracious, so benevolent, it won't leave you empty-handed. It's going to leave you with some parting words. And this is the best time before, you know, the shayateen have the opportunity to trouble us further. This is the best time to sit down and analyze what went wrong from Shawwal of the previous year to Ramadan of this year. What went wrong? There's no better days than the last 4 or 5 nights that you have left. There's no better days and nights. It's ibadah as well to search for Laylatul Qadr, pondering, thinking about your life, having a cave moment, a cave day. This is ibadah because you're doing it for the sake of Allah. Allah knows your thoughts. Allah knows what's in your heart. Allah knows your reasons for your deliberation. You're not just sitting there, idle. No, you are utilizing that time for Him. Allah will reward you for it. He will make that sitting an act of worship from the nights of Laylatul Qadr, inshaAllah. This is the best time. Because once Ramadan leaves your home for the airport, you can imagine it having an airport and going for its flight, it's going to depart. You got to imagine that all sorts of, subhanAllah, circumstances are going to be released upon you. Once it's announced that it's Eid, of course we're all excited, but we should also remember, subhanAllah, that Ramadan brought doors of Jannah that were open, doors of the hellfire that were shut, shayateen that were chained. Everything's going to be reversed back to normal. Because life's a test, but a hopeful test. That's why Allah gives us Ramadan. He gives us the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. He gives us Hajj. He gives us 5 daily prayers, the Salah, 5 daily prayers. He gave us a Qur'an that is preserved, subhanAllah. He gave us the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is preserved. No prophet has had his life documented and registered and related. No prophet in the history of prophets like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even what he did in his most private moments in his home, we know about it. So Allah has left us attended, not unattended. He's left us attended, not unattended. We have all these other tools to use to manage ourselves. And then yes, when Ramadan comes, Allah doesn't take these tools away. In fact, He makes Ramadan the month of the Qur'an. This, the greatest tool for guidance, He says this month is the dedicated month for it. But Allah chains the shayateen and He shuts the doors of the hellfire to make Ramadan a launch pad, to make Ramadan a month to gain the momentum needed to keep you going throughout the year. Think of it as a cyclist. A cyclist cycles, 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 cycles. What happens when the cyclist stops cycling? Does the bike just stop suddenly or does it carry on moving? It moves because of the momentum created from the cycling process. That's how you got to think about it. So Ramadan is the month to cycle hard so that you're moving, you have momentum going into the rest of the months of the year. And then Allah renews that momentum with the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And every day with the 5 daily salah. And then for those who want to engage Allah in the voluntary worship, then alhamdulillah, that door is open for them as well. It's not like fasting is going to be shut until next Ramadan. You have the Monday fast, you have the Thursday fast, you have the fast of Shawwal, according to the majority of the scholars. You have the Ayyam al-Bid, fasting of the 3 white days. You have opportunities. But think back, which opportunities did you miss? You know, sometimes we only focus on the mistakes we did. But Islam is a dual approach. Focus on the good deeds you didn't act upon, you didn't bring into your life. Like going forward from this Ramadan to next Ramadan, as you analyze last Ramadan to this Ramadan, as you analyze it, don't say, well, I wanted to leave this sin, but I didn't. I wanted to leave this bad character, and I didn't. I wanted to get closer to the sunnah in this way, and I didn't. Think about the good deeds as well, that you could have done, that would have helped you leave the bad deeds that you didn't do. You got to think of it like this, because Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says, salah puts an end to immorality and sin. Salah puts an end to it. Right? And if you connect with the Qur'an and ponder over the Qur'an and interact with this verse, you will see that Allah is teaching you that good deeds help put an end to bad deeds. Sometimes we want to put an end to a bad deed, but we focus on the triggers that create those bad deeds, etc. And that's good. You should focus on it. What are the triggers? Is it my phone? Is it a particular app? Is it a particular website? Is it a particular country that I'm in? Right? People have desires. People have shubuhat, they have shahawat. We know that, subhanAllah, the test of this world is in misconceptions and love for following one's desires. Different people are tested with different circumstances and situations. Some people are tested with the academia, and they fall into all sorts of misconceptions of the deen, and they become a test for themselves and other people. Some people, they have a weakness in front of their desires. Their test is the test of desires. And they slip and they trip. So no doubt, as you want to develop yourself for the next year, you got to switch off the triggers. You got to remove the triggers, right? But also, we forget that one of the ways to ensure that we stay away from sin is by giving birth to good deeds. If you're not fasting Mondays and Thursdays, make a plan to start fasting Mondays and Thursdays. If you're not fasting the 3 white days, make a plan for that. If you're not praying Salatul Duha, make a plan for that. If you're not regular with your adhkar, make a plan for that, to bring these into your life, these pillars. If you're not being charitable enough with your charity monthly, bring that into your life. All these good deeds are going to help you. Because when Allah's mercy reaches you, you become empowered. And we've been reading this in the Taraweeh. Every time, what does Iblis say when he says, I'm going to take them to the hellfire? He says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except your chosen ones. He says to Allah that I will take them with me to the hellfire except for your chosen slaves. That Iblis, even in his arrogance, even in his misguidance, he acknowledges that I have no chance over the one who Allah chooses, subhanAllah. So ask Allah to choose you, to make you from the chosen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And the chosen ones, they are the ones who get closer to Allah through good deeds, through the compulsory acts of worship, and also, as Allah tells us in the hadith Qudsi, through the voluntary acts of worship. You get even closer to Allah. And in that same hadith, Allah says, my slave continues getting closer to me through the voluntary acts of worship until his or her faculties are only used in a manner that's pleasing to Allah. Subhanallah. So think about this. It's part of your plan, your strategy for 2023 to 2024, for Ramadan 1444 to Ramadan 1445, is to bring about as many good deeds as you can. But in a structured way, in a way that allows you to burn in and not burn out. This is another thing. And I think you should imagine Ramadan calling you to this, highlighting to you before Ramadan leaves, that don't forget about your burnout that you experienced after I left you the last time. That you have all this, mashallah, emotion, you have all this encouragement, you have this iman boost, but be strategic in how you roll it out. Recognize that life is going to happen to you once Shawwal comes. It's not going to be Ramadan. The shayateen are going to be roaming. You're not going to be fasting. The night prayer is not going to be happening. You're not going to be in a community in which everyone is going to the night prayer. Everyone is fasting. When everyone's doing it, it's easy to do. You're not going to be in that circumstance and situation. It's a whole new scene. So Ramadan will tell you, remind you to this, that don't forget that Shawwal is not Ramadan. And the Al-Qa'dah isn't Ramadan. So strategize proactively. Don't strategize in a way that isn't sustainable. You burn out and you just give up. Right? You're not going to just all of a sudden start fasting Monday and Thursday if you haven't been doing so after Ramadan leaves. You're not going to just start fasting 13th, 14th, 15th of every month once Ramadan leaves. It's not going to just happen suddenly. You're going to click a finger and it's just going to happen. You're not going to be reading this one juz of the Quran, and we always highlight one juz of the Quran because we learn from the Sunnah that in the least a believer should build himself or herself up to finish the Quran once every 30 days. That is the target. If you can do it twice every 30 days, alhamdulillah. But at least build yourself up to reading one juz a day every day before next Ramadan arrives. Build yourself up. If you can't read it because of your circumstances, you have young children, you have a demanding household, then make a plan at least to read what you can from the Quran and listen to the rest. So that in some capacity, you've had a relationship with one juz of the Quran every day for 30 days. Maybe you can read a quarter, listen to three quarters. But have those thoughts. Burn yourself in. And maybe you won't be able to listen to three quarters and read a quarter immediately. Maybe at the beginning, you'll just be able to read a quarter. That's all. And you're going to try this over a day, over 2 days, over 3 days, over a week, over 2 weeks, over 3 weeks, over a month. And in a month's time, you'll see, subhanAllah, okay, it's easy for me to read a quarter. I set aside 30 minutes to read Quran. And mashallah, before I was only doing a quarter juz, now I do a quarter juz in 20 minutes, I have 10 minutes more. Ah, now you can increase. You see, from my experience working with people, and I've seen that there's two types of people. There's some people who are motivated by the quantitative approach. And there's some people who are motivated, who are burnt out by a quantitative approach.
I need to leave and one of the sisters blocked me.
Okay. Someone needs to leave and his car's blocked. I'm not sure if anyone's blocking another car. Okay. So you have a quantitative approach and you have a qualitative approach. Some people are burnt out by the quantitative approach. I've seen this with some of the people from those who I mentor. You tell them, all right, let's set some targets. Let's set some targets. Every day you're going to do A, B, C, D, E. And subhanAllah, over time you see them burning out. They just burn out of it. And then I've realized that for them, a qualitative approach works better. So for example, you don't tell them, I want you to read X amount of pages of the Quran a day. You tell them, I want you to set aside 20 minutes to read Quran every day. Whatever you read in those 20 minutes, that's your quota for the day. Do you see the difference between quantitative and qualitative? That's the difference. Right? So some people, if you tell them to set aside 20 minutes, this is easy for them, read the Quran. Switch off your phone, read the Quran. If you read one page in the 20 minutes, that's your quota for the day. If you read 10 pages, that's your quota for the day. So every day, because they're doing the time, they don't feel burnt out. They feel like they've achieved. They don't sit at the end of the day regretting, I was supposed to hit this target and I didn't, and it starts becoming a sense of negative stress for them. So some people, they get afflicted with negative stress if you give them quantitative target. I'm sharing this with you because today's topic is all about the Quran and connecting with the Quran and so on and so forth. Right, so I'm going to bring about random thoughts, but all related to the Quran. And no doubt connected to Ramadan. And that's why I started with Ramadan and Ramadan departing, to bring that sense of urgency. So as you plan your protocols, your diligence, your processes for Ramadan 1445, meaning you got to see it like this. You are having a conversation with Ramadan and you are making promises to Ramadan. That when you come next year, this is what you're going to see. This is who you're going to see. You're going to see this in my house. You're going to see this renovation. You're going to see this room painted. You're going to see this bedding changed. This is the conversation you're having, right? And you have to imagine Ramadan telling you, okay, but just don't burn out. You sure you have the budget to make this renovation? You sure you have the resources in your city to complete these changes in your home? See Ramadan engaging in this proactive discussion. Why? Why am I sharing with you this? Because, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us life. And He's given us this life to build up, not to burn out in. A life in which we bed ourselves in. This process of building Jannah happens strategically. It happens proactively. It happens progressively. And it's through this do we reach newer levels in terms of our ambitions. And through this are we able, my dear mother and sister in Islam, to start benefiting others. And this is the level we need to get to. This is the ummah of da'wah. If you constantly need surgery, how will you operate on other people? That makes sense. If you constantly need help, how will you help other people? You got to build yourself up to a level of stability whereby now you are empowered to help other people. And the first people that you need to help are your children, and then your nieces, and then your nephews, the closest to you. Subhanallah. And when that impact is felt, you will inspire them to become what Allah has blessed you to become. And that's how you create a chain reaction, the domino effect. The domino effect. That's what we want to see in the Ummah. The domino effect. We can't see the circular effect, where it's Ramadan to Ramadan and we're back to normal before the next Ramadan came back. And we start again. And then we're back to normal. And then we start again. And then we're back to normal. And then we start again. And we're constantly in a vortex. Like Shaitan's put us in this cylinder and it's pressurized and we're trying to swim out and we can't swim out. Got to move forward. Right? Okay. So try this inshallah in your endeavors moving forward. And may Allah bless what remains of our month. Ameen. And may Allah preserve us in His obedience and grant us many, many more Ramadans. Ameen. Whilst we are in good health, whilst we are in a good state of faith, whilst we are closer to Allah and not further away from Allah, whilst our parents are happier with us if they're alive, whilst we've done more for our parents if they've passed away, whilst our children have progressed if we have children, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah to bring us many, many more Ramadans whilst our life is constantly progressing towards Him with worship, filled with love, filled with hope, filled with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, obviously the reason why I'm connecting today's topics to the Quran is because this was what you chose. You chose to have a discussion about the Quran, and I pray you've made you've written it in capitals, qualitative versus quantitative. If you don't understand yourself, this is part of the reasons why you don't progress. You must understand yourself. Read up on it. You know, so read up on your personality type, so you can move forward. Sometimes, subhanAllah, it's not an issue with our iman. Our iman is good. Our iman is strong. The problem is we didn't recognize our unique self. We didn't realize our unique self. And then shaitan uses that to make it an iman issue. That you're constantly not memorizing more Quran because your iman is weak. You can't say you're not introducing the sunnah in your life because your iman is weak. The sunnah and salah haven't come into your life because your iman is weak. No, it's just because perhaps, it's not because of iman. The regret you feel, by the way, is from iman. The regret you feel when you're not doing something is from iman. But perhaps you're burning out, you're not burning in. Your approach is wrong. You haven't taken the physical means properly. Okay? So think about this. If you have been failing Ramadan to Ramadan and you've been using a quantitative approach, try a qualitative approach from this Ramadan to the next and see how you go. See how you go. Okay? See how you go. Inshallah. Now, previously I shared with you this three-step approach to connect with the Quran. Because we always talk about connecting to the Quran. This is theory. How do we do it practically? And I shared with you this idea of tadabbur. And tadabbur at a basic level consumes everybody. It's not unique for scholars. It's not unique for students of knowledge. Allah revealed this verse for the masses. Everyone does tadabbur. And tadabbur is pondering over the Quran. And I told you the basic level of tadabbur, which every Muslim can do, even if you're a new Muslim, is firstly, understanding what a verse is saying. And secondly, asking yourself the lessons of this verse. Are they in my life or aren't they in my life? That's simple, basic tadabbur. Every Muslim can do this. A six-year-old can do it. A seven-year-old, anyone who can discern between right and wrong can do this. They call it sin at-tamyiz in the books of fiqh. The age of discernment, when you can discern between right and wrong. Anyone who can discern between right and wrong, if you explain to them a verse and told them what this verse is calling to, and then you ask them to compare their life to that ideal, in some capacity they can. Yesterday, subhanAllah, I sat with children in the children's program. They were amazing, phenomenal. 8, 9, 10, 11, amazing, subhanAllah. The interaction, the ability to comprehend, the ability to participate. I sat thinking, subhanAllah, where was I when I was sat where they were? Could I think like that? Our children are so advanced. Explain to them a verse and then sit them down honestly and make them try. You will see, subhanAllah, even they can do it. Even they can do it. If you take a verse and say, this is the ideal that this verse is talking about, a scholar taught me or a book of tafsir has taught me, right? So we know what this verse is saying, we don't doubt it. This is what the verse is calling to. And then you say to them, all right, my dear son, my dear daughter, even if they're 8 years old, this, Allah is calling us to this. How much of this exists in your life? And let them interact. That's tadabbur. And subhanAllah, by you doing that, you'll be training them to practice tadabbur, to interact with the Quran like this. Because there's no greater school than the school of the home. And we discussed this in Surah Yusuf when we discussed the prophetic methodology of parenting, the school of Ya'qub in parenting, in raising children. Yes, results are with Allah. Some children, they make mistakes. We know the brothers of Yusuf abducted Yusuf. They're all from the same home. But that's not in your hands. What's in your hands is effort, right? And the effort of Ya'qub was phenomenal. We see this in how he was with Yusuf alayhi salam and all the different extractions we took from the verses that connected his interactions with them. And if you missed it, it's online. It's on my YouTube channel. We're uploading nightly, alhamdulillah. I actually named it the Prophetic School of Parenting or Prophetic Parenting or something like this from Surah Yusuf. Now, what is the three-step approach? The three-step approach. The three-step approach is as follows. Number one, you are going to analyze the distance between you and the ideal that Allah is calling you to in the Quran. Step number one. So you studied Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Did I share with you the three verses of Fatiha as a case study? All right. For those who missed it, let me share with you a case study. You have to understand every verse in the Quran brings in the least two things. Meaning it brings about two things, but in different quantities. Number one, knowledge. Every verse in the Quran is going to teach you knowledge. Every verse. And number two, it's going to call you to an action. Every verse in the Quran will call you to an action. I dare you to read the Quran and fail me on what I'm saying. Even if you read a story from the stories of the Quran, you will find knowledge in it and an action that it's calling to. And we do this nightly with Surah Yusuf. It's a story, but we every night, every verse we take, we're sharing knowledge and we're extracting, or to the best of our ability. Obviously, we don't have time to tap into every verse, but sometimes we take a group of verses. But from it, we deduce knowledge and benefits, a call to action. So, take Surah Al-Fatiha, because we read this every day, in every salah, in every rak'ah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamd, this is the greatest of praises, the highest level of praise. This praise belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah, it belongs to Allah. Lam here is lam of tamlik. Belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah, this hamd belongs to Allah. And by the way, hamd, when I call it the highest form of praise, it's a praise that you'll only find connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody praises anyone using hamd besides Allah. Right? You can thank someone, you can praise someone in the Arabic language. This is called madh. Madh is praising when you praise someone. They share the similar letters. Meem, yani hamd, ha, meem, dal. Madh, meem, dal, ha. Similar letters. But they're different levels of intensity. Hamd is a level of praise that is so intense, it can only be for Allah. Why? Because it's for the being who's gifted us a gift that no one else can gift us. And you can think of this multiple upon multiple strains of criteria. Think about Jannah. Who can gift you Jannah? Nobody. Like, think about faith. Who can gift you faith? You want to talk about spirituality? Who can gift you spirituality like Allah? Nobody. Okay? You want to make it more physical? Who can gift you your physical amenities? The ability to see, the ability to taste, the ability to smell, the ability to live on earth. Who can give you that? No one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You want to talk about physical interactions? Like, who can gift you the ability to ponder over the creation of Allah and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His creation? Who? You want to talk about moments? Who can give you moments like the moments Allah gives you? We just finished a series on Allah's names. One of the names of Allah is Khalaq. Right? Remember we said Khalaq upon the scale that denotes a continuous action. Allah's not Al-Khaliq only, but He's Khalaq. He's the creator and He's the perpetual creator. Every moment you live through, He's created it. When I say the word every, how many moments are in the word every? Think about it like this. How many moments in the word every? Allah created every moment in the series of moments that allowed me to say every. Every blink of an eyelid is a moment. Allah created that. Every leaf that falls from a tree is a moment. Allah created that. And how many leaves fall at the same time in the world, in the same moment? Those are all unique moments. Allah's created constant. Every heartbeat is a moment. Allah's created that. Subhanallah. Understand who you worship every night and who you're fasting for. Subhanallah. Every moment He creates. Right now, this little child putting a hand out with a pencil in her hand. These are a series of moments. Allah's created every individual speck of a moment for that entire moment that we saw to happen. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing, huh? Have you ever thought of Allah like this? This is why, subhanallah, when Uthman used to read the Quran and he used to cry, and people used to say to him, you need to relax a little bit. Yeah, meaning, I'm just paraphrasing. You need to take it easy. You're going to hurt yourself. You know, he used to become so emotionally filled. And he used to say to them, if you understood what the Quran is, if you understood these words, that the words of Allah, you delete that phrase, enough, from your vocabulary. This word enough, you delete it. You just keep reading it. Because those are moments that you have with Allah, that Allah's created for you to have with Him. Subhanallah. Do you ever think about it like that? You sit with the Quran, these are my moments with Allah, and Allah has created these moments so I could have these moments with him. Allah has chosen me. Prophets were chosen, no doubt. But Allah chooses from His creation as well, albeit in a different way. When you read the Quran, Allah has chosen you. He's created those moments for you so you can have moments with Him. When you raise your hands and make dua, Allah has chosen you. He's created those moments for you so you can have moments with Him. When you keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah, Allah has chosen you. He's created for you moments so you can have moments with Him. Subhanallah. Unbelievable. Huh? Unbelievable. May Allah make us from the thankful. May Allah make us from the thankful. When you fast, that's Allah telling you, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. Pray the Taraweeh, I've chosen you. Read the Quran. Allah, every time, there's so many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the signal, I've chosen you. But we let ourselves down. That's what we do. By not recognizing that Allah has chosen us and feeling the responsibility of being chosen. How many people has Allah created? But Allah chose us, subhanallah. Subhanallah. May Allah keep choosing us. Ameen. So, Alhamdu is this unique praise that we give only to Allah because Allah gives us moments like no other. What is Alhamd? Scholars have tried to explain it. They say Alhamd refers to a sincere show of love and gratitude that stems from a sincere heart, coupled with sincere love and exaltation for the one being praised. Did you capture that definition? Hamd, a sincere show of love, a sincere show of gratitude that stems from a sincere heart, filled with sincere love and sincere exaltation for the one being praised. This is hamd. So you said alhamdulillah. And why are you saying alhamdulillah? That this sincere show of gratitude belongs to Allah. Meaning, Ya Allah, you are Al-Hamid. Ya Allah, you are the owner of this praise. Meaning, you will always be Al-Hamid whether I recognize you as the praised one or I don't. Whether I remember to recognize you as the praised one or I don't. This praise belongs to you. I am announcing that it belongs to you. No one can take it away from you. Whether I wish to praise you, or I forget to praise you, or I refuse to praise you, you are Al-Hamid and Alhamdulillah. Why? Rabbil Alameen. Because you are the Lord of the worlds. And I think I shared with you the meanings of Rabb. We said Rabb is a universal term, right? We shared this, right? It encompasses so many different names from the names of Allah. So many names, subhanallah. Many of the names of Allah are encompassed in the term Rabb. But if we have to be choosy because of time, then we would say Rabb means your creator, your maker, your sustainer, the giver of life, the giver of death, your protector, and the one who nurtures you to perfection. 7 or 8 meanings we can really choose if we pressed for time. So you think, subhanAllah, Allah is my protector. Allah nurtures me to perfection. Allah provides for me this food and drink that I need to survive. Because of Him, I'm sustained, my heart beats. I don't have to think about my heart beating, it beats without me having to remember it beating. So this is knowledge that you learn from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, right? You learn from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen all these things about Allah. What action does it bring about? What action? Praising Allah is an action. But why would you praise Allah? It's gratitude and be grateful to Allah. Why do you want to be grateful to Allah? Because you love Allah. Does it make you love Allah? Yeah, Allah does all these things for me. When a child loves his or her parents, and you ask your child why, doesn't the child say, because my mommy does all these things for me, my parents look after me, they provide for me. Yeah? You love Allah, correct? So, the action that stems from the knowledge of the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha is one of loving Allah, right? Okay, now loving Allah is manifested in different ways. Like you said, you're thankful to Allah, you show gratitude, and so on and so forth. How do we connect with this verse? to tadabbur. So we've understood the tafsir. We understood what the verse is saying. Right? And through it now we've understood what knowledge the verse has taught us and what action the verse is calling to. Correct? You guys with me? Okay. How do we connect with the Quran? Step number one, a gap analysis. What is a gap analysis? You're going to sit yourself down and ponder. How much do I love Allah? How much do I love Allah? Now this will, can you imagine how long this will take you? You could just be pondering over Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen for weeks as you go on a journey discovering yourself. This is self-discovery, by the way. The Quran gives you the ability for self-discovery. The Quran gives you the ability for self-discovery. How much do I love Allah? Now that's going to bring up about a whole lot of other questions that you need to answer. Okay, how do I know how much I love Allah? How much do I worship Him? How much does Allah want me to worship Him? How close am I to those levels of ibadah? How far am I from those levels of ibadah? Allah wants me to stay away from these bad deeds. How far away am I from them? These questions, this journey you're going, this is the gap analysis. This is tadabbur al-Quran. All these questions you're asking and trying to answer are because of this verse in the Quran. This is you pondering over the Quran. This is you pondering over the Quran. This is you pondering over the Quran. And it'll take a long time to answer this question, depending on the verse. This journey of self-discovery. How much do I love Allah? Obviously, through this journey, you're going to study what does the love of Allah entail? And that's going to be your ideal. That's going to be the target. And then you're going to see where you are from that target. How far am I away from that target? How many kilometers? How many miles? Okay, so that's step number one. Gap analysis. Is that how you connect with the Quran only? No. Step number two. Root cause analysis. Root cause analysis. What's a root cause analysis? You need to understand why there's a gap between you and this ideal. Why is there this gap? Why is there this gap? This is called, I call it a root cause analysis. You want to go to the root cause. You want to deal with the disease at the roots. When a tree is struggling, you can go spray the medicine on the leaves. But what's going to happen when the medicine fades away? The problem is going to return, right? So you want to go to the root of the problem. You want quantum progress in your life. Quantum progress happens when you shift problems from the roots. Get to the roots. So call it a root cause analysis. Why exactly is there a gap in my life between where I am in terms of my love for Allah and where I should be in terms of my love for Allah? Why? Figure it out. Everybody has different reasons as to why they are where they are. You got to figure that out. Is it because I have bad friends? Is it because I spend too much time on applications? Right? You got to ask yourself that. Why? Is it because I lose motivation? Is it because maybe if it's a journey with the Quran and you're not so prolific with it, is it because I don't read fluently enough? Okay, so put all those, write everything down. Is it because I forget to recite Salatul Duha daily? Write it down. Is it because of job restrictions? Write it down. Go the distance. This is a cave day. This is you going through a journey of self-discovery, using the Quran as your base for it. This is tadabbur. Many people say, you know, we can't practice tadabbur, Shaykh, because, you know, tafsir, we can't do tafsir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever speaks about the Quran, without knowledge, they're sinful even if they're correct. So we can't, no, that's tafsir. Tadabbur comes after tafsir. You have to visit a knowledgeable, responsible scholar and understand what the verse is saying. You have to pick up a reputable book of tafsir and read that book of tafsir and, you know, make sure that you've understood what the verse is saying. Now that you've understood what the verse is saying, now the journey of tadabbur arrives. That Allah commands us to, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do you not ponder over the Qur'an? Am ala qulubin aqfaluha, or has a lock been set on their hearts? Subhanallah. And this teaches us that our proximity from tadabbur is based on how free our hearts are. And that's why ask Allah in your dua. Now you have things to ask Allah for. That, Ya Allah, unlock my heart. Ya Allah, unlock my heart. Open my heart to the Quran. Open my heart to the meanings of the Quran. Open my heart to the guidance of the Quran. Now you have a dua to ask Allah for. Our du'as improve as our discovery improves. And it's a discovery based, of course, on the Quran, ultimate guidance. Hudan, it's a guide. Wa rahmah, and a mercy. Wa shifa, and a cure. And the description, nur, and a light. The descriptions of the Quran are, subhanallah, too many. Okay, are you done? No, you're not done. What's left? Solutions analysis. Nothing's complete if you don't come up with the solutions. What do I need to do to close this gap between where I am and where I need to be? What do I need to do? Do I need to delegate some of my tasks? Do I need to sit down with my husband, sit down with my spouse, discuss my ambitions, my endeavors, so he can help me work through some of the... Is it a time issue? Maybe he can help me here with it. Maybe we can outsource some of the things that I'm doing. Meaning, solutions. Just like how you run a business, right? When COVID struck, the businesses came together, the people came together. What can we do with the business? Right? How, you know, do we need to release staff? Can we reduce staff? What can we do to manage this? There's an unknown turbulence that we're going through. Everyone is sitting and looking for solutions, understanding the problems. Tayyip, what about your life? Is it not deserving of it? What about your grave? What about how you're going to die? What about how you're going to be raised on the day of Qiyamah? What about how you're going to be stood in front of Allah? How are you going to stand in front of Him? When I say how you're going to be stood, forgive the bad English, but you know what I'm meaning. The angels are going to drive us to Allah, subhanallah. That name is called, you're going to be driven. You're going to be made to stand there. What about that? Doesn't that deserve some reflection, contemplation, a meeting, a board meeting, regular meetings, a review, analysis, KPIs, whatever you want to call it, key performance indicators, whatever MBA tools, techniques you have, SWOT analysis. Doesn't all these things deserve all of that? Deserves it, of course it does. So, solutions analysis. Is it because I have bad friends? Okay, I need to change my friends. If the root cause is bad friends, solution is change my friend circle. If the root cause is the city you live in, solutions, I'm going to change the city. If you have to, you have to. Your grave deserves it. Right? If it's desires and it's your environment, change your environment. Meaning, do what you have to do. Is it, I lose motivation, that's why I'm not hitting my Quran targets? Get a Quran buddy, that's your solution. Let me try and create a circle of Quran buddies, and together we hold each other accountable. We have the same like-mindedness, we have the same ambitions, but we're all struggling. Maybe we're all struggling for the same reason. I'm going to create a group of WhatsApp buddies, Telegram buddies, whatever it is, and we are going to be putting our targets and keeping ourselves honest and making sure that we pushing each other to build ourselves up. Is it because of these sins that I fall into? Okay, what are the triggers? Those are the triggers, right? Let me delete the triggers. Don't they do that in psychotherapy as well? Right? Where they tell you need to create an ecosystem around you to leave some bad deeds. I've spoken to some psychotherapists. They mention this as actual practical solutions that they give to their clients. Right? Let's say somebody is addicted to something. They actually tell them that you have to, I know it's embarrassing, but you have to speak to a few of your close friends and tell them you have this problem. People who you spend your day with, or they have proximity to your day, so that they can have an acute awareness of your behavior that shows that you haven't left the problem, and they can tell you about it. And they can remind you towards your solutions and so on. And they say, this is a solution. I'm not saying we should expose our sins. But if that is the only solution and we need to create that circle of trust. You don't have that circle of trust, your solution is create a circle of trust. This is tadabbur of the Quran. Gap analysis, understand the reason why there's a gap, that's the root cause analysis, come up with the solutions. How am I going to close the gap between me and the ideal? And Allah sees you daily with the struggle. This is the struggle Allah wants to see from you. When Allah tells you to observe the jihad, huh? Jahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi. Strive for the sake of Allah, a true striving. This is the striving He wants to see. That you showing Allah that, Ya Allah, I'm a weak slave and things are hard, but no matter how hard it is, I'm going to keep trying. It's not going to stop. I'm not going to stop trying because of how hard it is. I imagine Allah above His throne witnessing this from you. Witnessing you not giving up for His sake. Witnessing you trying for His sake. Witnessing you amending for His sake. Witnessing you raising your hands begging Him for His sake. Where do you think you're going to end up? From the lost ones or the chosen ones? There you go. There you go. There you go. Right? Because the Quran is light and Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And perhaps this is a good segue into this particular verse number 35 from Surah Nur, as a final, as they say, it is the meaning. Well, the icing on the cake. That's what I'm looking for. When you're fasting, you forget all these food terminologies and stuff. Huh? The icing on the cake. So we've gone through different journeys connected to the Quran, right? And I hope you've understood the tadabbur process. And through this, we've understood the Quran as a light. And of course, it's a light because it comes from light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Verse number 35 from Surah Nur, La ilaha illallah. An entire surah in the Quran named the chapter of light. Because of this verse in the Quran, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. La ilaha illallah. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi kamishkat. Fiha misbah. المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية. So perfect it is. يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء. Allah guides to His light whom He wills. May this session be that session that causes us to be guided to His light. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the verse by saying, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah shares these parallels and these examples with people. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah is upon all omniscient and knowledgeable. InshaAllah, this is the icing on the cake that we will discuss to close our sister series together. And may Allah bless the sister who suggested it. Subhanallah, it couldn't be more. Yani, subhanallah, you feel like it's God sent. That Allah makes us end our series. We started He's with His names, and we end with a verse in the Quran that teaches us about Him so eloquently. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. He is the light of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. And the scholars of tafsir say this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to is both hissi and ma'nawi. It's both tangible and meaningful. Hissi and ma'nawi. Tangible, meaning every light you see comes from the light of Allah. Every light you see, the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the light of the stars, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every light you see. And how many times does Allah take an oath by a time in our day that is associated with the meanings of brightness? وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Allah takes an oath by the sun and its brightness. وَالْقَمَرِ and the moon when it follows the sun. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. And the scholars of tafsir say, subhanallah, that Allah is latif. And we learned this in Surah Yusuf, Allah is gentle with His slaves. So gentle He is that Allah's light is so bright that He veils His light with a veil of light. Because if that veil is lifted, anything that reads that light touches, it will just fall apart. It will surrender, it will fall apart. So Allah has created for Himself a veil of light. Subhanallah. Remember when Musa spoke to Allah, إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ بِرِسَالَاتِ وَبِكَلَامِ, I've chosen you, Musa, with Risala, making a prophet, and Kalami, making you Kalimullah, someone who Allah will speak to, and you'll speak to Allah in a unique way. Musa says to Allah, allow me to see you, Ya Allah. أرني أنظر إليك. Allah says, قَالَ لَن تَرَانِ, you'll never be able to see me. وَلَكِن, but, أُنظُر إِلَى الْجَبَلِ, look at this massive, mighty mountain. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرْ, if it stays where it is, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِ, you will see me. Allah says, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine the most minutest of senses, I mean, so small it's beyond our ability to imagine how small this is. In the smallest of ways, a reality of small that is beyond our ability to imagine, this veil was lifted. What happened to the mountain? It crushed. And Musa fell unconscious. Subhanallah. 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 La ilaha illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illa Allah. Subhanallah. There's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. No power, no might except for Allah. This is what happened. And when Musa finally woke up, all he could say is Subhana, glory be to you. And I ask you for forgiveness. I seek your pardon. Yani, I'm observing tawbah. Subhanallah. Because that's who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So Allah is the nur, His light. And from His gentleness and mercifulness to us, He's created a veil of light. So He is light, and His veil is a veil of light. And as we said, everything that has light stems from the light of Allah, the light of the throne of Allah, the light of the kursi of Allah, the light of the sun, the light of the moon, light itself, the light of Jannah, subhanallah. Because of the light of Allah, that Jannah receives its light. But also, the light of Allah, as we said, is ma'nawi. We said it's hissi, it's tangible, and it's also meaningful. What do we mean by an-nur al-ma'nawi? An-nur al-ma'nawi, what do we mean by it? The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman. Knowledge of the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. All this is from the light of Allah. This iman that you have in your heart is from the light of Allah. You've been touched by Allah. This light that you have in your heart is from the light of Allah. The light you have is from iman. And this light is from the light of Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah being the light of the heavens and the earth. The Quran is from Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. From the light of Allah. The guidance of the Quran from the light of Allah. The Sharia of Allah is from the light of Allah. The messengers that Allah sent from the light of Allah. The guidance that you feel is from the light of Allah. The salah that you pray is from the light of Allah. The fasting that you're doing is from the light of Allah. You being here right now when you could have been somewhere else is from the light of Allah. The guidance you manifest is from the light of Allah. The ambitions you have for your children to raise them in a manner that allows them to die upon iman is from the light of Allah. The guidance your children has is from the light of Allah. The happiness that you have in your marriage upon Allah's righteousness is from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Your ability to see, You can't see without lights from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's physical. We're talking about the meaningful now. I hope you understand it. I hope you feel it. That we live, subhanallah, with Allah's light. We don't even recognize it, realize it. Subhanallah, may Allah forgive us. مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ وَمَا شَكَرْنَاكَ حَقَّ شُكْرِكَ يَا رَبِّ. Subhanallah, we haven't worshipped you the way you deserve to be worshipped. We haven't thanked you the way you deserve to be thanked. This heart, subhanallah, that beats from one state to another state. Forget about the physical beating. Think about it moving from state to state. It can shift from guidance to misguidance. Allah makes it beat from a state of guidance to a state of guidance. This is from the nur of Allah. The soft word of a mother to her child and a father to his child, reminding them about Allah, is from the light of Allah. The projects you choose to run is from the light of Allah. The desire you have for the upliftment of your community is from the light of Allah. And Allah gives His light to whom He wills in different capacities. So ask Allah to give you from His light and to increase that light for you. The more He increases it for you, subhanallah, the more amazing you become. This is how you have to understand it. Everything revolves around Allah. La hawla. You know, we all say la hawla wa la quwwata. Understand la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Indeed, no power, no might except for Allah. Subhanallah. There's no power, no might. It's all Allah. And we've been reading this in Surah Yusuf as well. When Yusuf shares his light, what does he say? ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنِ. This is from the light of Allah. Allah's blessings upon me and upon the people. Does he not say this? Time and time again. Yaqub alayhi salam, inshallah, in the upcoming verses, we'll see this. And from the beginning, he's always attaching it to Allah. He's always going back to Allah. They live this reality knowing that it's nothing. Who brought you from non-existence to existence? The fact that you live and can be seen, that means you have light on you. This light is from the light of Allah. This name An-Nur is from the universal names of Allah. It encompasses the meanings of so many other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that if it wasn't for Allah, you would have nothing but darkness. It is Allah who removes darkness. The positive feeling you have, that light is from the light of Allah. The extreme sadness you feel is from the sadness of shaitan. So you ask Allah to bring upon you His light, to remove that sadness. The positive demeanor you have, the happiness you feel in your day, the smile you have on your face, all this is from the light of Allah. Allah being the light of the heavens and the earth. You thought when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa," your smile in the face of your brother is a sadaqa. You thought it just, what is that? It's sadaqa because that is you manifesting light, light which Allah has given you. Don't people become enlightened when you smile? When you're happy? Don't they feel enlightened? You are a means of them receiving this light of Allah. That's why Allah gave you the rewards of a sadaqah. This is connect with the Quran, my dear mother and my dear sister. Allah, you'll never finish. One word, Allahu Nur. We're just on Nur. Nur al-Samawati. One verse, Allahu Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. And in Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for the one who Allah doesn't give them His nur, فَمَا لَهُ مِن نُور. He'll never have any light. Some people see misguidance as light. No. مَا لَهُ مِن نُور. You have no light. If Allah doesn't share with you a portion of His nur, you will never be enlightened. You will never have light. You will only be in darkness, living in darkness. Even though you think you're living in light, you'll be living in darkness. The light of the grave, my dear mother and sister, is from the light of Allah, Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. When you make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, enlighten my grave. Don't keep my grave dark, Ya Allah. Grave is scary, Ya Allah. Don't make it a dark pit, Ya Allah. You're asking Allah to shower upon you nur, light from an-nur. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Subhanallah. Then Allah shares with us a parable, because it's beyond our ability to imagine Him. Despite our brains, our minds having what we say, yani, we describe as no boundary in describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing events, in describing things, in imagining things, this mind cannot describe and imagine Allah. Sorry, I had a slip there. I was paying attention to the time. I thought Asr is coming in. We need to wrap up. It's so much to say. See how long tadabbur can last? Subhanallah. What did I just say? What is the last point? Just now.
We don't have the mental capacity.
No, we don't have the mental capacity to imagine and describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though, think about it. You can imagine whatever you want, describe whatever you want. Who can stop you? Can anyone stop you? Yeah, you guys are sitting here. You can imagine you sitting in Medina. The actual, can anyone stop you right now? You can imagine it. Your mind has the ability to do it. We always joke with the brothers. You have one wife, you can imagine you have 3, 4, 2. Who's going to stop you? Can anyone stop you? You can imagine how she looks. You can imagine how the... Can anyone stop? There's no limits to your ability to imagine and describe. But can you imagine and describe Allah? No ways. So Allah gives us a parable to help us. A parallel. Doesn't mean it's exact. But Allah connects us to something that if we were to imagine it, it's even difficult for us to imagine it, even though it's a worldly thing. But if we were to imagine it, we would say, Subhanallah, how amazing is my imagination. And this parable is in the following words of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ, the example, the parallel. This is a parallel, the example. It's not exact. The example of His light, example of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's like, is like a lantern. A lantern, in it, there is a fatil, a lamp, that which is, you understand a lantern, right? Think of a lantern as a lantern is. You have a section where you put the oil, and then you have a fatil, you have this flint that's partially exposing itself, and the rest of it is connected to the oil beneath it. That flint sucks up the oil, right? It absorbs it, and it continues absorbing it, and then you light it. And the light that you place on that flint remains lit because it's fueled by the oil that is being absorbed from the oil tank. Okay, but is this enough? No. A lantern is designed with a glass made of a glass of a particular caliber that's able to absorb light and reflect light, so that this little flint gives a light far brighter than the lint itself. If you remove the cover, it becomes darker. And then you place the cover on, subhanAllah, and it becomes brighter. Not so? And then you're thinking of this cover that is so pure that there's no stains on it in any capacity. All right, so a lantern. Allah says, the example of His light is like a lantern which has in it a lamp. And the lamp is in a crystal. So this covering, it's not just a glass covering. It's crystal covering. Okay? And we know with crystal what happens. When light hits crystal, how many colors do you get? How many lights do you get? You get one light or you get multiple lights? Different colors, different intensities. Subhanallah. Allah created us. He gave us the mind. Through the Quran, He's telling your mind to imagine. It has a crystal engulfing it. The crystal is like a shining star. Subhanallah. Can you even find this kind of a lantern? And imagine you took a star, a shining star, and this is what was part and parcel of your lantern. So now we're talking about a lantern that isn't physically accessible, but it's accessible in our mind. We have the ability to imagine. right or wrong. We have the ability to imagine. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this lantern has its light lit from oil, but not any oil. Olive oil, but not any olive oil. Olive oil from an olive tree, of course, not any olive tree. An olive tree that grew in the blessed lands. It's a blessed olive tree. Like the lands of Sham, the lands of the Levant, Allah has blessed these lands. So this olive oil came from olives, and these olives came from an olive tree, and this olive tree came from a tree that grew not on any land, but blessed lands. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the oil of a blessed olive tree located neither to the west, sorry, neither to the east nor the west, sharqiyyah or gharbiyyah, now, east or west. Now, why does Allah tell us this? Because Allah is telling us that this is from the most complete of olive oil. It's not olive oil from an olive from a tree that received its light only during the day. Or oil from an olive tree that received its light only at sunset. No, Allah is saying this tree received light from the sun in the morning and the evening, such as the olive trees of Sham. It's positioned in a way whereby those trees benefit from the ecosystem that the sun brings about during the day and the evening. Look how precise this description is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whose oil would almost glow, meaning this oil is so pure, you'd think it can glow without putting a fire to it. It's so pure, it's so lit in and of itself. It has this intrinsic feeling of nur that you feel, I don't need to light this lantern, just this oil will bring light. Even without being touched by fire. Allah says light upon light. Subhanallah. Light upon light. Many people, they use this phrase, light upon light. Nurun ala nur, right? Nurun ala nur, light upon light. Now obviously, you're thinking of this oil in this crystal covering, and this crystal covering as if it's made from a bright star, right? So all of this together is creating the sense of feeling that this thing, subhanAllah, can light even without the fire touching it. Nurun ala nur. The scholars have said, subhanAllah, nurun ala nur, obviously it's nurun ala nur. If you put light on top of this oil, it's nurun ala nur. And if this light, this oil is lit, and then you put the light of lighting it on it, what's going to happen? It's light upon light. But also, they say Allah is describing to us the reality of a believer when the light of the Quran touches their lit heart and their lit fitrah. That this fitrah Allah has given you, that has guidance that Allah created you upon, is light from Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And then He reveals the Quran that is light, that is from Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And the light of the Quran touches the light of this fitrah, what's going to happen? Nurun ala nur. You are going to become something else. You are going to become something else. And that's why we're saying connect to the Quran. The more you connect to the Quran, see it as light upon light. The motivation you seek is in the Quran. The productivity you seek is in the Quran. The progress you seek is in the Quran. The paradigm shift you seek is in the Quran. The motivation you seek is in the Quran. It's all in the Quran. The more you take from the Quran, you are placing light upon light. The light of guidance of the Quran from Allahu Nur as-Samawati wal-Ard upon the light of your fitrah, the one who created you with the nur, with the guidance in it, from Allahu Nur as-Samawati wal-Ard, it's light upon light. The more light you put here, the more lit you're going to become. That you will also become a light for the people and a sign, or you will become part of the tafsir of the verse Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Imagine that. This should be a dua. Ya Allah, make me a part of the tafsir Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And make me a lit person who is a light in the lives of other people. So the guidance they feel and the light they feel it because of my presence. Their closest to you is because of my presence, so that my presence is from this nur, your nur. What more can I say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to His light whom He wills. Ask Allah to guide you to His light. Ask Allah to guide you to the Quran, to guide you to the Sunnah, to guide you to righteousness. Ask Allah never to make you an iota's distance away from the book of His. Ask Allah to protect your closeness to the Quran that you gained this Ramadan. Beg Allah in these last moments of Ramadan that, Ya Allah, do not take me an iota's distance away from the closeness you brought to me with your book, for your book. You brought me so close to your book, Ya Allah. Don't take me an iota's distance away when the day of Eid arrives. Because this light I feel, I don't want to lose it. I only want it to grow by getting even more closer. I started with this topic that Ramadan is going to leave us, and Ramadan has parting words of advice. And I end with the final words of advice of Ramadan to us all. Do not put down the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know we have to put it down to do other work, but when I say don't put it down, don't let your heart put it down. And whilst you have to physically put it down, let your heart carry it. And never ever forget that Allah said that if just a portion of this Quran was to be revealed to a mountain, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل, you would have seen this mountain surrender, become humbled, fall flat. And remember that Allah, that a mountain can't manage it, but Allah blessed you with the ability to put the Quran on your tongue and on your heart. Allah gave you your heart the capacity to hold these words. Hold on to these realities, my dear mothers and sisters in Islam, and grow from strength to strength, and be the best that you can be, and be the lights for Melbourne and Australia, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our past, inspire our futures, make us the best we can be, and make us from the family of Al-Quran in this life and the next. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Everything correct said is from Allah alone, and He's perfect, and any mistakes are from myself and shaitan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept our deeds, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you all a sadaqatul jariya for me, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me practice on the words that I've shared with you first, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in Al-Firdaus, Ameen, without any punishment, without any accountability, so that we can sit and discuss, subhanAllah, those blessed moments in a Medina, a different Medina, albeit it wasn't the Medina, but it was called Medina because of love for Al-Medina, a place that we sat and we discussed how Allah is indeed the light of the heavens and the earth. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamu alayhi wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh.